Well, that suffering in Ukraine is rekindling a desire to understand the atrocities of another era, the Holocaust and the Second World War. But most Holocaust survivors who are still alive are in their 80s or 90s, and very few remain to tell their stories. So museums and archives are using new technology to preserve their testimonies. As NPR's Neda Ulibi reports, curators want these stories to resonate into the future.
At the Illinois Holocaust Museum in Skokie, you can slip on a virtual reality headset and enter the world of survivor George Brent as he stepped off a boxcar at Auschwitz.
There was a great deal of shouting, raus, raus, schnell, schnell, leave everything behind.
As you turn around on all sides, you see trembling Jewish families, SS officers with guns. They're illustrations, charcoal drawings that then melt like shadows into the actual landscape of Auschwitz today. It was amazing, George Brent said, to see his story unfold via new technology, especially because his memory is beginning to fade.
That's my problem when you're 93 years old. You forget certain things.
It gives me the chills when I think about it, that this technology became available just in time to capture these stories.
Susan Abrams runs the Illinois Holocaust Museum, where for years survivors would tell their stories to visitors in person. Abrams says the museum spent more than seven figures to recreate George Brent's testimony as a virtual reality experience, complete with location shooting in Poland and Austria. But using new technology to capture survivors' stories is nothing new. In 1946, an American psychology professor named David Boder decided to use then-cutting-edge technology to record testimonies, says Todd Presner. He studies the Holocaust and digital culture.
He brought this wire recorder to displaced persons camps throughout Europe, interviewing survivors in multiple languages, and really the first one to record their voices.
So powerful, he says, at a time when newsreels were largely silent and images of survivors were seen, not heard. Likewise, he says, the new virtual reality experience with George Brent makes the Holocaust feel immediate, especially if you've never visited a place like Auschwitz.
The camp seemed endless. Everywhere you turned.
We realize how large Auschwitz is, or we realize how small a boxcar is.
After the movie Schindler's List came out in 1993, gathering testimonies gained new momentum. Director Steven Spielberg decided to create one of the largest digital collections of survivor testimonies in the world. The USC Shoah Foundation is run right now by Corey Street, who's now standing in its quiet lobby, facing a life-size screen of an elderly man in a pink upholstered chair.
Pincus, can you tell us your story?
The man, who looks a little like the actor Anthony Hopkins, appears to compose himself. He blinks and begins.
My name is Pinchas Gutter. I was born in 1932. In Łódź.
This video of Pincus Guter is enabled by artificial intelligence to answer questions. For example, Pincus, what was life like in the Warsaw Ghetto?
An apocalyptic inferno is not even words that you can describe what went on in the ghetto.
Interactive experiences like this one are more compelling to many visitors, says Corey Street, than just passively watching archival footage of survivor testimonies, which can now be repurposed with new technology.
There's no reason we can't take these 2D testimonies, of which we have 55,000, and retrofit them to work with AI.
When you think right now about interactive museum experiences, the ones getting the most attention feature the work of famous artists.
There's a lot of debate about some of these immersive experiences, the Van Gogh one, most recently the Frida Kahlo one. People either love it or they don't, but museums, to get people in, they need to keep on this.
So will the Holocaust, the immersive experience, be coming to a museum near you? Sarah Lombard, who works at the U.S. Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., says it's not entirely out of the question.
In VR, we've looked at how do you explain the experience of the Warsaw Ghetto? How might we explain that, really transporting you to the ghetto?
With a specific story, she says, about the Jewish resistance groups preserving evidence of what happened there. So the idea, says Shoah Foundation Director Corey Street, is not like Westworld.
There are really excellent applications of game theory to learning about Holocaust and genocide without it devolving into something that is dangerous, that is dark tourism.
At a time of rising bigotry of all sorts, and when anti-vaxxers trivialize survivors' experiences, Holocaust Museum directors say their stories are more important than ever. New technology and new tools, used correctly, can bring that history home. Neda Ulibi, NPR News.